This podcast is one in a series of audiovisual presentations produced by the Malta Tourism Observatory. The series covers a number of different topics that relate to the work conducted by the Observatory in connection with the implementation of Malta's Tourism Strategy 2021 to 2030. For more information, visit our website or social media pages. MTA Podcast 2. Presenting a 10-year strategy for Maltese tourism at this important juncture in global development necessitates a thorough understanding of the industry's 70 years of operation, development, and evolution. It is only by understanding where the industry is coming from that one can properly propose strategies that are not only based on a strong foundation, but also stand a good chance of success, given their relationship with the industry's roots. This analysis therefore seeks to identify the main phases of Malta's tourism development and to understand the various positive and negative impacts which these phases had on the tourism product and offer that Malta possesses today. Tourism in Malta has evolved through various phases, which have led to different impacts on the economic scene in Malta over the years. In its six decades of development and growth, Maltese tourism has witnessed a number of different periods, each of which created different types of economic opportunities, challenges, and issues. This podcast presents the first six phases of Maltese tourism development, from the early years of the 20th century to the end of the millennium. Phase 1, before the 1960s. Although travel for the masses was still a phenomenon yet to come, this does not mean that Malta had no tourism to speak of before its conscious attempt to develop this industry in the 1960s. Tourism accommodation was initially mostly confined to Valletta, and hotel names betray a British colonial connection and utilisation. Phase 2, the 1960s. Mass tourism was still in its infancy, and air travel was still the realm of the rich. Tourism was exclusive, and high quality was in demand. During this phase, Malta can be best described as an emerging quality hotel destination for British tourists. Quality hotel investment was being stimulated by a generous development grant scheme run by the Malta Government Tourist Board. A grant scheme, introduced by the Maltese government, attracted a new breed of larger capacity, higher category hotels. A hotel list published by the Malta Government Tourist Board in 1969 included hotels which still play a role in the Maltese tourism industry today. The list consisted of the following hotels: Cavalieri, Comino, Corinthia, Dolmen, Golden Sands, Malta Hilton, Meliha Bay, Paradise Bay, Phoenicia, Preluna, Plaza, Ramla Bay, Selina Bay, today's Coastline Hotel, and Sheraton Malta, today's Westin Dragonara. Amongst these hotels, one notices Malta's first foray into the attraction of major international hotel chains. These helped in no small way to introduce Malta as a destination to a wider set of potential travellers through the power of their brand. Phase 3, the 1970s. This period can be described as one of exponential growth of mass tourism and tour operators. In spite of temporary setbacks caused by a mix of internal and external factors, such as the chilling of Anglo-Maltese relations prior to the renegotiation of the defence and financial agreement in 1972 and the 1973 oil crisis and price hike, tourism volumes to Malta increased rapidly, assisted by political troubles and misfortunes of other countries in the Mediterranean region. The Arab-Israeli War, the Lebanese Civil War, the military dictatorships in Portugal, Spain, Greece and Turkey, and the invasion of Cyprus. Air Malta was set up as Malta's national airline in 1974, creating new tourism job opportunities in the aviation and other ancillary sectors. These factors contributed to a decade of strong growth, which saw tourism in Malta increase from around 180,000 tourists per annum in 1970 to nearly 750,000 annual tourists by 1980. During this period, and in spite of its growth, tourism overall was still viewed with an element of suspicion by the government of the day, and generally dismissed as a volatile industry. The government was more interested in creating jobs in core primary industries, such as manufacturing and shipbuilding. Tourism was often reviled as a servile rather than a service industry, which relegated the Maltese to waiters, juxtaposed to superior, mostly British foreigners. In spite of this negative perception, inbound tourism still increased at around 80,000 visitors per annum. Virtually no new major hotels came into being during this period, except for the Germa Palace Hotel in Marsaskala, then Malta's largest hotel with 750 beds. This was compensated for by an explosion in the number of self-catering apartments, which came from almost nothing but accounted for 60% of total tourist beds by 1980. The emergence of Bujibba and Marsaskala as alternative resorts also took place during this period. The issue of quantity rather than quality became very evident during this period. The high dependence on British inbound tourism continued to prevail, along with a wide seasonal spread between peak season summer tourism and low season winter tourism. The self-sustaining spiral of low price, low quality eventually dragged tourism down to a point of low return. By 1981, a strong Maltese lira and the re-emergence of the competing destinations in the Mediterranean, which had suffered huge declines during the 1970s, led to a slump in Maltese tourism, to the detriment of employment in the sector. Phase 4, the early 1980s. By the early 1980s, a situation arose whereby international tourism supply, in the shape of destinations and tourist beds, was fast outstripping demand. This ushered in a period of price sensitivity. For Malta, riding on the crest of 10 years of rapid growth during the 1970s, this worrying scenario was further exacerbated by the return of political stability to the Mediterranean region, meaning that competition in the neighbourhood, comprising of a more modern tourism offer, became a sudden reality in a country struggling with basic issues such as guaranteed tap water supply, electricity, and telecommunications. The predictable outcome of this combination of unfortunate events led to the decline and stagnation of Maltese tourism between 1981 and 1986. This was mostly due to uncompetitive pricing, sterling-Maltese lira exchange rate issues, Malta's overdependence on British tourism, the high seasonality of tourism inflows, and the tangible infrastructure shortcomings. The immediate outcome of this period was the decline of the recently but rapidly developed Bujibba and Marsaskala. These localities saw the rapid emergence of second homes and residential elements commence during this period as replacements to unutilized and obsolete former self-catering tourism stock. Phase 5, late 1980s. The growth of intra-European travel was the signature feature of the late 1980s. This was stimulated by the end of the Cold War and the liberalisation and deregulation that emerged as a result of the single European market concept, with the Single European Act coming into force in 1992. Simplified border formalities also played a major role, starting off from the removal of visas and culminating in the concept of borderless travel within the Schengen area, introduced by the Schengen Agreement in 1990. In Malta, this phase was characterized by a period of sustained growth, spearheaded by the introduction of the forward buying exchange rate subsidy, aimed at addressing the fluctuations of the Maltese lira and sterling in the British market. The return to growth also came as a result of geographical diversification and the development and attraction of off-peak niche tourism, which started to address the seasonality problem. In accommodation terms, this period saw the decline of self-catering apartments, which gave way to a hybrid type of serviced self-catering accommodation called the apart hotel. These years also saw huge investments in five-star accommodation as a result of a government drive to attract quality tourism. This also coincided with the identification of the Sliema St. Julian's area as Malta's quality tourist hub. Phase 6, the 1990s. International tourism started growing at an accelerated rate during this period. In Europe, this was strongly influenced by the opening of Eastern Europe after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and with vast populations seeking travel to previously inaccessible and unaffordable destinations. It was also the age of mergers and takeovers, with the demise of the small, local, regional, and independent tourism operator in favour of integrated companies. This phenomenon affected tour operators, travel agents, hotel chains, and airlines. This was also the period which saw the emergence of the internet as a source of information. In Malta, the 1990s featured a period of growth. The positive effect of the new five-star hotels, which were the first big accommodation investments since the 1960s, the expansion of niche segments such as teaching English as a foreign language, scuba diving, the meetings, conferences, and incentives segment, and off-peak group travel all contributed to the process of quality growth and positive change. The international trend of mergers also stimulated resort consolidation in Malta, as integrated suppliers such as tour operators concentrated their presence in Malta into fewer resorts. This led to the decline of areas such as Marsiskala, Gozo, and St. Paul's Bay from tour operator programs, as business concentrated in the slimmer St. Julian's area. The Golden Mile area was identified as Malta's five-star district, while Parcheville grew and developed as a nightlife mecca. In seasonality terms, St. Paul's Bay became a summer-only area, while Slimmer and St. Julian's became the year-round place for Maltese tourism.